High 50, low 32. Right now we're at 40. ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
Always a pleasure and an honor on Mondays and Fridays to welcome some wisdom to the radio, ladies and gentlemen. From Houston, Texas this morning, Brother Johnny. Johnny, how are you?
Hey, Steve, I'm great. How are you?
Great. Good to have you back on the program. Mike Ditka in Chicago, headed to Bristol, Connecticut for the weekend tomorrow morning. But Mike in Chicago. Hey, Coach. How you doing?
I'm good. I can't complain.
All right. Let's begin with something that I know will be very unique because nobody else is really covering it. Let's talk about Libya and Benghazi. We begin this with this report regarding, could there have been a rescue attempt for the poor souls in Benghazi?
Calling criticism of the U.S. response or lack of one Monday morning quarterbacking, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta said they couldn't mount a rescue mission for a lack of information.
Felt very strongly that we could not put forces at risk in that situation.
That even though a drone was providing a live feed of the attack. Panetta denied that they did nothing.
We had fast platoons in the region. We had ships that we deployed off of Libya.
Arizona Republican Senator John McCain called on President Obama to give a televised explanation.
The president needs to clear this up with the American people.
McCain says there were plenty of signs of danger in Benghazi and better precautions should have been taken. At the White House, Mike Makowicz, Fox News Radio.
Well, I guess we leap ahead. We'll go back just a bit to the Benghazi thing in a moment, but leaping ahead to this story regarding Leon Panetta and could we have done anything, Johnny? You look at the thing and you sure wish you could have buzzed him with F-16s or done something.
Well, we had F-18s in Sicily. That's 350 miles away, an hour. I mean, I don't know why you don't scramble those, Mike. You know, it's like there's a lack of inertia. It's like, well, let's get the information. We had the information. Our guys on U.S. soil, I don't know if people realize, an embassy in a foreign country is U.S. soil. And Americans that we sent over there to represent America were under attack. You send the planes. You send the planes. You know enough to send the planes.
I don't know if it makes any sense. And I really don't know how much, you know, this is about Benghazi, even the death. I think this could have been avoided, all this. I think just come out immediately and say what happened, that there was a terrorist attack, that we lost an ambassador, that, you know, it's what it was. I think when you try to hide and lie and push things under the carpet, and this administration is probably is the worst in history at deceiving the American public. I mean, they're going to throw anything out there. If you buy it, fine. I mean, that's just it. And here's the ironic thing. A lot of people in our country buy it. They think this guy is the Messiah. And what he's dealing in right now is, like, I'm not going to say he's dealing in falsehoods, deception. No matter how you want to cut it, that's what this administration is all about.
All right, let's go back to this.
You said in the Rose Garden, the day after the attack, it was an act of terror. It was not a spontaneous demonstration. Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
It is in response to a video, a film. This is in response to a video.
Internet video that we had nothing to do with.
That was spontaneous? Was it a planned attack? Was there a terrorist element to it?
This is a response to a hateful and offensive video.
The video and its influence on the protests that occurred in Cairo and Benghazi in response to this video. It was the video that caused the unrest in Cairo, that precipitated some of the unrest in Benghazi. It was sparked by the reaction to this video. The video was a precipitating cause to the unrest, specifically in Libya. Might take advantage of a situation that was brought about initially as a response to the video in question.
Natural protests that arose because of the outrage over the video.
Why the narrative, Johnny, when they knew it was wrong?
Well, I don't know. But the point is, and this idea that we have to wait to see the investigations, they didn't wait. They announced exactly what it was and wasn't true. I think they realized, you know, Mike, the SEALs were still alive at 3 or 4 in the morning. I mean, that's 6, 7 hours. I think they realized they could have done something. We have a commander-in-chief. He's in charge of the armed forces. This is a serious, serious thing to me because that's the biggest part of that job. It really is. And we have pretty brave men and women ready to go. And that's what they're trained for. That's what they want to do. They want to protect Americans under attack on American soil. He didn't. MIA, Steve, nothing. Okay, could we have prevented their death? I don't know, but we could have been buzzing those guys. A lot of those Arabs would have take off running. Steve, those F-18s can do some scary stuff.
Yeah, right.
And we had the drone. We didn't know this until this week, that they knew within an hour we were under attack. The president needs to do more than that. We had the capability to do more than we did. And then to come out with that story after. Look, guy can do a lot of the good for us. He could be do a rock tour. I think he could be a spokesman to make people feel better. We need a new president. That's all there is to it.
Oh, well, you kind of covered a lot of the bases there. It is pretty amazing to me when deception is more important than really telling the American people the truth about what happened. And it's all persona. It's all to glorify who he is and what their positions are. And it's really ridiculous. It really is. Not, you know, and like I said, if you don't want to make it about the fact that we've lost people's lives or Libya, you know, come on, tell the truth immediately. You know, if you don't know, you don't know. If you do know, you do know. But don't fabricate some story and say, oh, this is what we think happened. We don't know what happened. Now every story since then, well, we got to get all the facts. We have people checking up. We have people investigating. It's ridiculous. Why come out with a story in the beginning and say that's what happened? To me, it just bothers me. I just see no leadership there at all. I think when you don't lead, when you can't lead, you react. And I think this guy's a reactor. I don't think he's a leader in any sense of the word. And that's just what I believe. It's just my, you know, I watch it all the time. There's no, and the other thing I think maybe what John said about setting the planes, and I think maybe he was afraid to offend somebody in the Arab world by sending planes in there. This is one of the, to me, we're always apologizing instead of leading from a position of strength, which we've done throughout the history of our country, whether people like it or not, whether people in other parts of the world like it or not, we are who we are, and that we can't change. And we can get better, and we can get better, we can get better. And if it means, in a sense of getting better, that we become a more powerful nation, fine. But let's not be a nation that cowers to others.
Don't you think a press conference is appropriate for the President of the United States to talk about this? Or should Mitt Romney be talking about this on the stump?
Well, I think that a press conference at this point, whatever, Steve. I mean, it's too late. We've seen the leadership. I've noticed through the years as I've worked with people, when they won't take accountability and they're always someone else's fault and it wasn't me and they make up stories, they continue to do that. It's not going to stop.
Absolutely, John. You're right. You roll the snowball down the hill and it gets bigger and bigger.
Sure. You know, when we get caught lying, Steve, those chickens come home to roost. Most of the time, the bigger the lie, the bigger the chicken. And I'll tell you something right now. We got a big chicken coming because there's been a lot of lying going on.
No, we don't have a chicken. We have a turkey.
Years, if you want to know the truth.
Well, what about they've announced there's going to be hearings, of course, after the election regarding all of this. And certainly Hillary Clinton has aspirations for 2016. She's not going to hold the bag on this, is she?
Well, I think she had some responsibility there. Again, I don't really want to hear the hearings. They've dropped the ball. They've tried to change the story. I don't want to hear about it. I don't even want to hear any more about it. We can vote on this. We don't need a hearing. Let's just vote on it.
Well, you know, deception is deception. But, you know, you talk about Hillary Clinton being a candidate in 2016. Well, you know, you can't tell me that Bill Clinton really likes this guy, yet he's campaigning for him. So I'm not sure I really understand all that. Maybe there's a promise in the basket. Hillary's next in line. I don't know. But this whole administration, you know, it's got a pretty good smell to it right now from what's happened. I mean, and I don't think the American people expect a whole lot, but they do expect the truth. I just expect the truth. Tell us what you know when you know it. Not after the facts. Don't deceive us. Don't paint a rosy picture that isn't there. And I think that's what this administration has done and tries to do.
Yeah. I think we should expect the truth. But Steve, if you look at our lifetimes, you talk about Adlai Stevenson and Ike. They've told the truth. Both those guys. Stevenson was more conservative than McCain. You know, Kennedy, Nixon. I don't know as much. Dick had his problems, and then you had Johnson lied through his teeth. But they knew it was wrong, Mike. Then you had Dick get caught lying, and we all said Democrats, Republicans, You're not going to lie. We won't accept that. You're out. But when Clinton got caught lying, it changed. No, it's okay. It's okay. We're not giving up power. And it's okay to lie about that. And now the horses are out of the barn, Steve. They're lying about everything every day. If you look at Pelosi and you look at Harry Reid, they just lie as a matter of course now.
Yeah.
So we're not getting what we deserve, I think, as American people, which is the truth.
But we're getting what we tolerate with these politicians. And you're right, John, you hit it right on the button. I mean, and we can talk about both sides of the aisle. They're all bad. A lot of these people go there with nothing, come out millionaires. You know, they go there for their own benefit, for their party's benefit. You know, this thing is about country. You know, we heard all this stuff, like country first, this, that, forward. Forward, where? We haven't gone forward in 4 years. So we go forward to what? From where? I mean, this is a stagnant country right now and because of this administration. People are afraid to do things. That's why we have the employment problems. That's why we have the economic problems. And that's why, in the eyes of the world, we're becoming just another country.
And what, should Mitt Romney be talking about this to bring the Libya thing up, Johnny, or not?
I think so.
Well, I think it's an important part of leadership, and I think even President Obama said, I think, yesterday or the day before, that the most important part of this job is a commander-in-chief.
Yeah.
And he hasn't got any experience like that. Actually, I don't know what Mitt Romney has either. But, you know, back to telling the truth, we used to all at least expect it and at least admit we should tell the truth. You know, you talk about it, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, if I'm talking about Boehner's a good speaker and I don't like Reid because he lies, the usual response I get is, oh, Boehner lies worse than Reid. No, Reid lies worse. They're all lying. That's the perception. So what kind of leadership is that, Mike? And where are we going to go?
You're right, Johnny. Exactly. I said, you know, it's both sides of the aisle. But, I mean, we simply say that, you know, a mistruth because you're a Republican or a Democrat, you know, that's a tragedy to the people. That's a big disservice to the people who put you in office. But then again, let me say this. You get what you tolerate. And the people who tolerate this, that's exactly what they get.
Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, live on ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3, live from the Pines in Urbana. I'm Stevie J. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. Johnny in Houston, Mike Ditka in Chicago. By the way, Nathaniel in Beaumont, Texas, could hear from his apartment last night, Bill Clinton. What is Bill Clinton doing in Texas, Johnny? It's a red state.
Oh, I thought they went to Austin for something, and I hadn't heard that much about out of Bill since this Libya thing. And then the guy at the debate who said, I voted for you last time, but I don't know now. And he said he almost started crying. I hadn't heard that much from Bill lately.
Yeah.
I think he's just about had it. But what's he doing here?
Why is he in Texas? I mean, that's a waste of time, isn't it? I mean, you wouldn't send Mitt Romney to New York or Illinois or California right now, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, well, maybe they have a senator congressional race he's working
on. Maybe so.
But they had a gathering in Austin. I think Gingrich was out here. They were up to something.
Gotcha.
I missed it.
Well,
but there was a political event here.
Well, I know that it's hot and heavy. It's going to remain that way until, of course, a week from Tuesday, and then we'll see what happens. But you guys talk about line and culture and things like that. How does this ever change, Mike? How do we ever get back to where we actually have faith in the government?
I don't know if we ever can, because, again, until politics and politicians, public office becomes about serving the best interest of the American people. And I know everybody has a different opinion of what the best interest of America is, but come on, guys. It's not too complicated, you know. We've become a country of regulations. We've become a country where the government, it's not supposed to be more government. It's supposed to be less government. The government's for the people. It's not a government that has to be involved in every segment of, you know, this is like Big Brother. Like, this is George Orwell's book, you know, whatever that book was at that time, written back in the 60s. It was, 1984 or something?
Yes, 1984.
So, but anyways, I mean, this is Big Brother. I mean, they think that they know more. They can do more, that they should be involved in every segment of our lives. I mean, our energy policies suck, John. You know that more than anybody.
Well, I'll tell you, though, to get back to the truth being important, Steve, there have to be consequences. There's going to be consequences. And when we have to pay the price for believing a falsehood or live in a dream that isn't real. When that all comes crashing down, then you realize the importance of the truth. We've had a pretty good run, Steve. You know, when Clinton was lying about the deal and they said it's okay, no one got struck by lightning. There wasn't any consequence of that. In fact, our economy did pretty good those last few years. So we didn't learn anything. And I think if you go back through the years and you make bad choices and bad mistakes and there's consequences, look what happened during World War I and World War II, then you realize the importance of it. But if there are no consequences, if you get in trouble and someone bails you out, well, it really doesn't matter. And then until that changes, which unfortunately it's usually trauma or crisis that makes us realize that reality matters, it won't change. So I think that's just it. I think we're a victim of our own success.
Hmm. Well put. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3. Okay, in our final few minutes, let's shift to football. It's Saints at Denver on Sunday night. I lead with the Saints because I like the Saints. And they beat Peyton Manning in Colorado?
I'm going to defer to Mike, but I think Peyton's just going to dice that defense. I just can't hardly look. I can't imagine what he's going to do to our defense.
Well, I don't know, and that's a possibility, John. The thing I said about this football game, you know, I think people who are real diehards, you know, you're seeing two of the greatest quarterbacks ever play the game play.
Boy, that's for sure.
Brees and Manning. But I tell you, you got on paper. Now, I don't know what that means, but on paper, the Denver has a much better defense than the other team, I mean, than New Orleans. But then on paper last night, you would have thought that Minnesota had a better defense than Tampa Bay, and that wasn't true. So, I mean, how do you really know when a team goes in and does that? And I said earlier, anyway, I said the one thing about the Vikings can be good as long as they keep people from scoring because they don't score. I mean, they just don't score a lot. And so I think this game here is going to be interesting because I think there's going to be a lot of scoring, and it might be the last man standing.
I think you're right. I think it's who doesn't make the mistake.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, turnovers will kill you. We know that. But I don't have – and believe me, I think they missed their coordinator down in New Orleans on defense a lot.
Well, I don't think we got a lot of personnel, but they played a little better in spots. So we'll see, Stevie. But I tell you, it's going to be a game worth watching with Peyton Manning and Drew Brees. It's going
to
be a lot
of
fireworks.
Could be the first one to 50. What about the Bears in Carolina, Mike? Bears are good.
The Bears got to get their offense a little more sharp. There's no question about it. But defensively, this is a very, very good football team. As good as anybody in football. Special teams, they match up. I think they just got to get a little better offense. And, I mean, I'm looking at Matt Forte, I think, is averaging about 4.4 yards per carry. Give him the ball 25 times, 20 times. You know, you don't have to be so pretty. I understand you're going to throw the ball to Marshall. I understand you got a good quarterback. But, you know, do it ugly for a while. Win ugly. You know, win with your with your running game once in a while. I think that works.
Well, I'll tell you, you better be careful about Carolina. You know, those guys, they can jump up and bite you. But the Bears should win that game.
They should win that game. But, I mean, Carolina right now, they're another one. They're an accident waiting to happen. I mean, you can't go through the league with alibis. Hey, we get beat, we get beat. Why did we get beat? We got beat because the other team plays better than us in certain areas.
Yeah. Now, what about that Dallas hosting the New York Giants? That ought to be an interesting game. Dallas is favored by one.
I like Dallas in the game. I really do. I think, you know, I think the first thing that they got to hold on to the ball. I mean, that's one thing they got to do. I mean, they can't keep dropping passes. I think it's going to be a good game. Believe me, I love what the Giants do. I think Cobb Coughlin's great. I think Eli's great. I just think the Cowboys, they know what's on the line. You know, if it's not now, when's it going to be? So
yeah, I think that's true. What about our man, Dez? What's his name, Steve?
Brian.
Dez Bryant.
That guy's got to resume where he was
last year.
He's got
to use your hands.
Yeah, he drops too many, doesn't he, Mike?
Yep.
It's a lack of concentration. And, like I said, I just answered a question for tomorrow's Sunday show, and I said that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, really. I mean, turnovers in football, people don't realize what they do to you. I mean, I looked at just the game last night. The first 10 points that the Buccaneers got, what were they from? They were came off of turnovers.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think. You know, if you don't turn the ball over, you make the other team go on the long field, you got a much better chance of them going on long field and making a mistake themselves, and you got a chance to be, stay in the game.
Hey, finally.
If you keep turning it over, you got no chance.
World Series, I would have picked the Detroit Tigers. It's 2-0 Giants. Maybe they
no
are.
No chance.
The,
they got no chance.
Who? Tigers don't have a chance?
No, they got one run in two games.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Where's all that timely hitting they had against everybody else? There's none right now. None. I mean,
but look,
you watch the Giants, guys. No matter what you want to say, they are a team of destiny. They hit in critical positions. They pitch in critical positions. You got to give them all the credit in the world.
But I'll tell you, Steve, they just kind of erupted. That was 3-1, and those guys haven't looked back. I tell you, they just started. They were a new team, and they haven't stopped.
Shows who gets hot at the right time of the
year,
I guess.
Well,
right?
It's true. That goes in any sport, football, baseball, basketball, hockey. You get that run at the end, it's terrific, and they got it right now, believe me.
Well, San Francisco, it was the New York Giants got hot at the end of the NFL year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, guys, leave it there. Mike will watch you on ESPN all weekend. You do a great job. Brother Johnny, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Stevie.
Thanks so much.